Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. Our guest today is Elle Petrouche. She is a talent manager based in Los Angeles. She currently runs EP Talent, a management company focused on representing deaf and disabled creators and actors. Her clients have worked with major studios and dozens of your favorite brands. And when she's not working, you can find her watching so much TV. Snuggling with her perfect cat or at a concert. Hello.
Hi.
What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, ever been to? I think it's probably a tie between Eras Tour and the Renaissance Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Those were good. And those were like back to back. So that was
Right.
like a great month.
Yeah, incredible. That was just an incredible, like, two women leading the economy. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, honestly, like I won the Ticketmaster battle so dearly that year. I got presale for both of those concerts, and I know that I will never get presale for any other incredible concert in the future. So I was very happy about that.
My gosh. And our book today. From 1998, written by Kate Kleiss, illustrated by her sister, M. Sarah Kleiss, from 1998 is Regarding the Fountain, a tale in letters of liars and leaks. It is an epistolary novel, again, comprised of letters. I've also heard it described as like a book in scrapbook, which is very true. It's all letters and notes and newspaper articles and all sort of like found documents. So, how did this book come into your life? What's your story with it?
I think I probably picked it up at the bookstore at some point. I don't honestly have like a full recollection of being like, ooh, this one. But I clearly got it at some point as a child. But I don't remember it being something where I like found it in the library and then wanted to buy it. I think it was probably just something I maybe got as like a gift for Hanukkah or in my many times at Barnes and Noble was like, oh, this is fun.
And I found out it's a series. Did you read more of the series or just this one?
I did not realize this was a series. This is the only one I've ever read of it, but it's so fun to know that that's a series.
I think it's a three book series, and I know the second one is called Regarding the Sink, which is I think mentioned a little
Yeah,
bit in
they
here,
set
the
that up
sinks.
in the very end. They like set up a second story. So that makes sense.
Yeah, so this book is about a water fountain, a middle school, Dry Creek Middle School, and the school needs a new fountain, and we discover a lot of intrigue with Florence, the fountain designer, and a little crime and conspiracy going on in the town of the owner of the pool and the water company have dammed up this geyser under the town and are selling the town's water back to the people, which I thought was so cool. This book, for being a cute, playful book, deals with, economics and corruption and secrets. There's so much here, and there's so many little puns. It really, I think, rewards close reading and rereading. Did you come back to this book a lot?
Yeah, I think that's what I really appreciated about the book was that, like, it seems like it's a super easy read. Like, it's just little letters, it's memos, it's little, like, notes in the margin. But when you go back and look through, like, when there's the newspaper article and there's like the main article, and then you see on the side like a little note about like the hairdressing salon and like her side story. And you can go back and see those things like piling up as like clues to how we got to where we're at the very end when the whole thing is revealed. It's kind of like a little mystery novel in that aspect. And I liked that aspect of it, of sort of every time, maybe not every time, but like the first couple of times you read it, you got to discover something new about it, or like this little drawing, or like, oh my gosh, this is an insane drawing of a fountain. I can't believe like there's fish in here, or like, oh, she actually drew the chocolate milk spout of what she wanted that to look like. And I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I think the ways that adults interact with children is really fun because Florence, this eccentric artist, never says that's too much, never says that's, that's dreaming too big. There's a very like yes and mentality. You get to see all sorts of things as she travels the world. And there's so many cute little puns. It charts the course of a school year, and the students are starting to piece together this mystery through their history project, and they reveal it all via opera at the big town
Yeah.
celebration in the
It gets
spring.
all pretty wild, but I think that was like the really fun part about it was like kids having that agency to
Yeah.
like go explore and find out stuff, and that this like eccentric character of this adult woman being like, yeah, I'm gonna send a pair of monkeys to the children. I also was out in like Spain and found these costumes, and I'm gonna send those to the kids. And just being like someone who was completely in their entire own world and had like no care whatsoever for like the rules and regs of how like a school organization is meant to go. Like, I found it so funny how she was talking to the secretary over notes and was like, why are you writing like the principal's letters for him? Isn't he educated enough to write them himself? If he wants to talk to me, he can talk to me personally. Don't write me any more letters.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just hilarious. You never hear that.
Yeah, there's very a lot of speaking truth to power and acknowledging just sort of, yeah, there are all these rules and regulations that you can question. And I think the principal is always saying, we haven't approved the design yet. This is going to be so costly, all of those sort of adult concerns. And something really beautiful is that Florence is sending all of these gifts. She sends them a bunch of musical instruments and they make a band. And there is no expectation of needing to be repaid. There's just generosity and kindness, which is such a stark contrast to our two villains, who it's Sally Mander, who runs the local pool,
And
and
deal.
yes, Delbert Eel. So all of the names are very, very cute. Goldie Fish is the secretary, and you get to
Yeah, they all have
see.
really funny little like fish names, like
Yeah.
water related names, like Lily Pad and like Gill, and it's all very cute.
Yeah. You get to see the confidential notes between our villains. And I think that, I don't know, there's something delicious there. You get to see behind the curtain.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like a little whodunit and a little like mystery solving thing, and you're putting all the little pieces together. And I think what's fun is to see so many different writing styles in
Yeah.
one book. Like, not only like the 15 different like typefaces that she uses of like Papyrus and Comic Sans and like all the different like basic word fonts that were available, what, in 1997 when this book came out, but also like what a memo looks like and what this, stamped with like confidential, burn after reading. It's just like a stark contrast between that and like a handwritten postcard from Florence in Africa or like a telegram, which seems like so outdated now.
Well, and I probably outdated then too. I think there's also a degree of we talked about the mundane, but it is something sort of I think there's like inviting a curiosity and inviting children into these spaces. When I started reading it, I was sort of like, well, I think throughout, I was like, this is a great classroom book. I remembered really clearly, like in sixth grade, learning how to write a letter and all the little parts of it. And there's poems and drawings. And I think it's sort of, you get to see all these little parts of life. Like there's a beautiful illustration of a butterfly, there's water ballet, all of these sort of things. And I think something really interesting is that there's, I think, almost a little lesson into like media literacy and detecting bias, which is so fun. Sort of questioning, why are people motivated to do this? What might they not be telling us?
Yeah, like it's really interactive in that way. And It lays it all out there in certain parts, and you sort of are, trying to solve it as you go along. And I think it's really fun the way that it sort of tells kids to like question authority.
Yeah, there's sort of this bent of question authority. I think 98 was the Lewinsky scandal. So there's all of these elements of like, the people we're supposed to look up to are just as fallible as us.
That's a really funny tie-in to be like, well, this silly little book about letters and then, presidential scandal, it all ties together. It's like, when you're watching like an episode of SVU from like 2003, and you're like, oh, I can tell, I know like the news story this was based on. Maybe not 2003. When I watched it with my mom, she only has like the syndicated cable channels, which just has like all of the episodes of like Law and Order Criminal Intent and like SVU and like the 17 other crime related TV shows that are syndicated. And we'll watch them when I like go home for the holidays. And she'll be like, oh, I think this was based on like that famous kidnapping case that happened that year. Or, oh, I think this was a tie into a story of, this political figure who had a similar scandal that year. So that's very funny to be like, well, the Lewinsky scandal.
It was in the air, yeah.
Late 90s, things were funny.
I just flipped to a telegram. There's a letter from the Nile. All these sorts of little things, and it's like you said, I like that there's a lot of newspaper articles, and it's sort of like every little detail, is thought out. Like it's very clear that these authors really love writing for kids. I think these two sisters, I was watching a little video about them, and their mother always said Christmas gifts have to be handmade. So they together, I think, wrote a short story for their sister, and they said that the sister the next day threw the story away in the trash. They found it, and they said that was our first rejection, and it just made us want to do better and do more. And I adore that.
That's so fun. That's so sweet. And yeah, I think like this is so well written for kids. And like you said, like a classroom book, even though it's like obviously a super breezy read for adults our age that can read this in like 25 minutes, it's, I think, a really fun story for kids to go like through this, similarly to like how the teacher was in this story of being like, okay, like this week, this is what we're focusing on. And like, go do your history lesson and go do, the interviews. And then, next week we're gonna focus on like writing an opera at these. And I think like the amount of agency that they're giving kids in the book, I think is really delightful. And I think they even mention it, one of the like administrators, or maybe it's one of like the evil people being like, and like, what are these kids doing? Like, they used to be so like mild-mannered and like well-behaved, and now they're running around with like howler monkeys in the classroom and instruments and all of this fun stuff. And it's such a fun world.
Yeah, and the whole mystery is revealed by kids. There's almost like an invitation to kind of be a little civic minded of getting involved in your community. Well, one thing that really struck me was talking about how this conspiracy really affected the entire community of, everyone had to leave. Like they talk about how boring our town is at the beginning, which is pretty standard. I think every kid kind of thinks that. But they talk about, we had this big boom, we were really successful, and then this thing happened. And I think maybe the thing that struck me the most is like, this is free water. Why are you denying us our own water? It's so simple, but it's so impactful.
And I think that along those lines of like the kids figuring it out, like there was never really like a big brother hand guiding them. Like their teacher wasn't helping. He was just sort of like, yeah, you've got a task, like go learn the history. And the kids really figured it out, most of the way through. And it wasn't like, okay, well, it's glad you had an adult help. It was that they figured it out. And but also they had the whole story of like, hey, this town used to be like incredible and booming, and there was agriculture, and then there was this big shift, and like people left, and it like devastated like the economy of the town. And that's why we think our town is boring and sad, is because all these businesses left and everyone, you know, went to wherever the other name of the town is, I forget, next door. But it's like there's so much more impactful other than like, oh, hey, like our water fountain has a leak and that's affecting us personally, versus seeing like how things affect on a grander scale and thinking about other people and thinking about your community and thinking about things on a larger scale rather than just about you and your little sixth grade life.
Yeah, and that you can have an impact. Yeah, absolutely. And at the end, you get to see a search warrant. You get to see their fingerprints in their police report. And in the end, it's really fun because there's like on all of the official documents, they cross out Dry Creek and write Geyser Creek. And the newspaper gets a new name, the Geyser Creek Gazette. We're gushing with good news. Established today. It's so fun and
Yeah.
cute.
And even with the like you said earlier, like every detail's thought out. Like, I think one thing that stuck with me was like the shape of the fingerprints of like Sally and D. Like, hers are sort of like smudgy and pudgy, and his are like long and thin, like an eel shaped, like kind of gross looking. Not to say that people with like long, thin fingers have gross fingers, but like those are even personalized to like the characters. They aren't just like basic fingers. And like those little things are thought out and they just add so much color to the world.
The big piece of evidence is a photograph, like an enlarged photograph from when they interview Mr. Eel in his office. And just the arrogance in the
Give them
photo.
any to let the kids shut up. I let them take a picture of me. Like, he wasn't even thinking that anyone could like pull one over on him. And there he is taking a picture in front of like incredibly damning evidence of what like he's covering up fully. And so it's, you know, hubris.
Absolutely. Revisiting this as an adult, what do you think are the things that you maybe saw differently or that really jumped out to you on this reading?
I think like what jumped out at me, probably more so like the administrative side of things, like someone who's like worked professionally for a number of years and like understanding the frustration of like the principal to be like, no, like I need an invoice and like I need a purchase order and like you need to give me debt, like figures and facts so that I can like submit a report to people to approve it. And like if I was dealing with someone like Florence who was like, yeah, whatever, the fountain will be installed in a couple of weeks, and I'm like, no, like I have like, you know, a system, and you don't even know that the system exists, and you're in your own solar system imagining a fountain that like, you know, doesn't exist yet, and I'm asking for what I think in my world is something really simple and easy, and like you can't give that to me. And I'm just imagining like just the frustration of trying to deal with like a creative type, for lack of a better term, which is like really funny in the work that I do. Like, I work in a creative industry with creative people. And I remember like my first time working, like one of my first jobs after college, I was working at a talent agency. And I mean, you're an actress, you know, working with actors sometimes that have never had a quote unquote real job, that they don't understand sometimes, like how your life works. And like you can't just stop by the office at 5 p.m. on a Thursday. Like, you need to like make an appointment, or like, hey, no, like there's a system to things, and your creative fun little life doesn't, like you have to factor in business world. So I think like as an adult having all this experience working like, you know, jobs and industry, I was like so much more empathetic to the principal character who was just like, I'm just trying to get purchase order approved for a fountain, and now I have to write my own letters. I have a secretary who's supposed to do this for me, and now I have to do this myself because this woman is demanding it. So fine, I will write you a letter myself for this fountain that should be very simple, and you're talking about like fish and birds and fauna, and now I'm getting in trouble and taking heat from it. And I think I was much more sympathetic to his character.
Yeah, and in the end, he gets a little walrus. Little. The
He gets
walruses
a
are
little
famously
friend.
large. Yeah, and the very final page is a letter from Wally, and there's a little detail on and on. Florence calls him Wally, and he says, "No, my name is Walter. Let's keep some professionalism." And the final page has all of these smudges on it because of the walrus, which is so sweet. Yeah, you might as well call me Wally. Everyone else around here does. It's so sweet.
It's funny, like after all of that insanity and back and forth and ridiculousness, they're like, okay, well, we need a new sink. You know, let's go to the lady who made us this like magical, insane swimming pool in the middle of this middle school. And I think it's so funny at the end where she's like, okay, well, I'm gonna give you all the instructions for how to operate this giant fountain where there's like a willow tree that spouts out like lemonade and
Yeah.
water and chocolate milk and all. She was like telling the kids how to operate it, which I think is very
Yeah.
funny.
Yeah. And she
Like,
sort of says, like, I'm off to the next project and I'll see you whenever I see you. Which honestly made me a little sad because there's this little romance developing between Mr.
yeah.
N, their teacher, and Florence. He's sending her flowers at the hotel, and there keep being all of these misconnections. There's even Sam N, Salmon, sends her a little letter, and
I just got that.
I know, me too. I didn't get it until now. He writes this little postscript of, "At the risk of repeating myself, may I tell you once more how spectacular the fountain is? Your," and then it's crossed out, "it's remarkable." It's so cute.
Yeah, and it's like you hear in the letters from the kids, like about how he's talking so lovingly, like lovely about her. This woman he's never met, no idea what she looks like. I'm imagining this woman is like 65 and like eccentric, because she's like, oh, I got this from like this African tribe who owed me a favor. Like this like worldly woman who's like traveled the globe, comes to their city with like a rail car full of
Yes.
like things. She's like 17th and like a full caboose of things. And I just think it's wild to this little like mini romance that they have is so cute. Someone being just like so enamored with this enigma that is Florence.
Yeah, and I love that there for readers, you can idolize Florence and want to be Florence when you grow up, and also be idolize the students, your peers, and want to do that too. I think that's really nice.
Yeah, and I just think it's fun to like you said, have like a very yes and approach to being creative and having fun. And she's like, oh yeah, let's get like the students' ideas for a fountain and bring that into it. 'Cause you know, you remember being like a kid in school and you don't have a lot of choices in that aspect. I think some of the stuff we got to do in elementary school or middle school, maybe more so in elementary school, because I went to a public school in elementary, was like we had a big mural in on school that like the fifth grade class got to like choose maybe what it was or something like that. But you don't get a lot of options to like put your personal touch in your school. And so I think that's what makes it really fun, is like you can have your own personal touch with like your classroom and the stuff that you do inside in your classroom that lasts, you know, 200 something days out of the year. But it's fun to like have something that lasts. Like, if you've ever gone to school when they've like built something new and everyone like puts their initials on like a tile, or everyone gets to like paint a tile and that goes in the new theater, you know, building or what have you. You know, you put your mark on something and it's nice to have like a legacy in that aspect.
My high school, every year the art history class would paint a mural based on a different time period, and you could sign your little name on it. I think ours did like pop art, and my high school just got renovated, and my first thought was like, good, our high school is extremely old and falling apart.
Yeah.
Our water fountains were famous for tasting like blood, which is what everyone said.
Oh, they're just like iron.
But at the same time, when that school was remodeled, I was like, what happened to all the art history? Like that a decade ago, but I really hope that my little painting is still there.
And it's like it's fun to have that mark because school is so transformative is not the right word. Like impactful maybe is not the right word, but like it's instrumental to like your coming of age, and it's your entire life, like for a very long time. So I think that it's just like a fun little book. And when I was rereading it last night, like it's just so fun. And I think that as someone who unfortunately like I don't read that often because I watch television a lot, I don't think I've sat down and like read a book cover to cover in honestly, sadly, years. It's fun to go into this silly world of make-believe, especially obviously when it's such like a little easy read, and remembering that like this was a book I chose to keep for like probably 20 years at this point. And like it stayed at my parents' house. And then when I moved out, my parents were like, well, choose books. And I was like, okay, like this is one of them of like the 20 something books that I have, maybe probably like 30 something books that I have in my apartment now that are mostly from like childhood or maybe college that sort of stuck with me. And that's when you were like, okay, like pick a book that has sort of stuck with you. I was like, I think this one, like this is something that's not like Harry Potter or The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings or something else that I've read a billion times. Like, or isn't part of like a 28-part series that I read as a kid. But yeah, this was something that just sort of stuck to me because it was so different.
I think there's probably a lot of kids who read this for the first time. This is something we kind of talked about with Wayside, which you mentioned earlier, is that I think a lot of kids come to this and are like, I didn't know that books could be like this. I didn't.
I think that's probably a really big part of why it stuck with me was like, oh, this is like a different way to like imbibe literature. And it's not just a regular adventure book. Like one of the adventure books I remember reading as a kid was like Adventures of Droon or like The Tales of Droon or something, which was like magical fantasy adventure book of like middle schoolers kind of going on magical adventures. And that's just like a regular normal book, how it's sort of set up, like Magic Treehouse books, it's kind of similar in that aspect. But this book is like, it's not written like a book. It's written like a file that you're like, oh, let me get the file on the fountain. Or, it's everything regarding the fountain. And you get to take this like this case basically to solve. And you're like looking at all the evidence. And sort of putting it all out there and solving it that way, which makes for a really fun read.
Yeah, and you get to see the chronology over a year. Yeah, it's really such a fun little book. Yeah, I really recommend it.
Lot of vocabulary, and like you learn about perms and what you need for a good perm, which is good water pressure. But yeah, I think it's just a fun little read, and I'm excited to keep it around for whenever like my nieces and nephews get old enough to read something like this, probably when they're in like elementary school. I don't know what the like ages are that kids read or start doing anything anymore.
I have no idea. It's been so long since I talked to a child.
I'm like, oh great, you're 5. What does that
What does that mean?
mean? It's like, that scene in Parks and Recreation where Anne is in a room with children and she's like, hi, are you a pretty little princess? And they're like, I'm 8. And she's like, okay, do you guys like Coldplay? And they're like, what? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do here.
And this is such a great way to like engage with them. Oh, I love it.
I want to say a huge shout out to M. Sarah for all the illustrations. Those were really fun and very engaging. I wish it had been like a full in color book. But it was definitely exciting to see, like, you see the cover and then, like, the second to last page or the last pages of the book, you see the cover again, but like in a wider span of like, this is what the fountain ends up looking like. But you kind of forget as you're reading it, you're like, I wonder what the fountain's gonna look like, because you haven't closed the book. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, right. And it has all the little bits and pieces from different people's drawings. So I think they did a, the sisters came together really well on all the drawings and the little illustrations. They were top notch.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you consider required reading?
Yeah, why not? If it's up to
Yeah,
me.
sure.
Yeah, I think this is really fun, and I think it gives kids a lot to like think about and be analytical about certain things, but also just the ability to have fun reading, which I think
Yeah.
is an important aspect of reading, is to make it fun while doing a lot of like scholastic reading and stuff for school that you don't want to do. This is something
For
where
sure.
it's like a nice little break.
Yeah, I wish there were adult novels like this that play with form. Yeah.
I'm sure there are some things like it, like certain mystery novels or other things, but I feel like they're probably more like puzzle oriented and you have to actually solve
Yeah.
them. I don't know if I want to do a task.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. This was such a fun read.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I'll have to find the sequels out there and add those to my library, because I'm sure those are fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is just very fun. Thanks for reaching out to me. This is a blast.
Of course. I'm so glad. Thank you so much to Al. Regarding the Fountain is really cute. You should try it out. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to buymeacoffee.com/required reading. Every little bit is very helpful. Regarding the Fountain was kind of difficult to find, especially like an e-publication, so I did buy it. It cost $7. If anyone wants to cover that, that'd be adorable. But I'm just glad you're here next week. Oh my God. Next week, we are doing The Giver by Lois Lowry, and a friend of mine that I have known since sixth grade, educator Trish Franks, is on. We yapped for 2.5 hours about everything and nothing. I love her so much. So I'll see you then, and you can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. Keep your fingers crossed for me. Take your meds. Bye.